Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that can still ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. By a show of hands, who here enjoys watching travel shows on TV? Okay. Who here enjoys watching travel shows that showcase food from different parts of the world? My people. Yes. In our house, we've been watching Somebody Feed Phil on Netflix, and we can't get enough of it. Every night, we put the kids to bed, and then we watch an episode together. And what makes these shows like this great is they give us insight into different cultures, different ways of living, and of course, delicious looking food, right? We can't eat it, but it looks really good. It makes us curious, and it draws us in, which is why the host of all these shows always says at the end, the people, the culture, the history, you must come and experience this place. And sometimes we'll even turn to someone in the room and say, yes, we need to go there. I want to eat that as soon as possible. Give it about an hour and you kind of get a little bit better after that. But watching this type of TV can make us feel empty, figuratively and literally hungry, a yearning for something. The same could be said for those of us that enjoy reading. You may be fascinated by reading about the Civil War or the civil rights, or you have a book on how to create something new, a project, a craft. However, as you're reading, you feel drawn to do something more. You may even feel drawn to travel and stand on that battlefield, to sit on that at that lunch counter, or to walk across that bridge, or create that craft or that project you were studying. Simply reading about it can leave you feel empty, dissatisfied, and perhaps a yearning for more. I can't quite put my finger on it, but the Easter story can make us feel like that too. We're told it's a big deal. It's the day, if any day, to come to church, besides Christmas. We have breakfast together. We had an Easter egg hunt this morning. We've been building anticipation for weeks, and we hear the story that was just read. And Michael, you did a wonderful job, but sometimes this story can feel so underwhelming. Something just feels like it's missing. Christmas is so much better. In Advent, we wait. O come, Emmanuel. And then our waiting is done, and it pays off with a baby right there in the manger. In Lent, we wait too. In fact, we wait even longer, and we might expect that there's a bigger payoff at the end, but we're left with an empty tomb. And we need something today. We need something. Since Good Friday, our hope has been hanging on by the skin of our teeth. Jesus was killed and his body was placed and sealed in a tomb to be forgotten. Our hope fades when we begin to let seep into us a belief that perhaps that military power is the answer to true peace. Maybe the Caesars, the God wannabes, who use their power and image for self-gain and control, really can overcome and overwhelm God's justice and mercy. And so with Jesus in the tomb, we may question what Jesus taught and lived. Perhaps having more money will make us happier and whole. Perhaps it's not about serving others, but about making sure we are great, even if it means others won't have what they need. If we are following the stories, If we are the disciples in the story, we are hanging on to that last flicker of hope. We are just crawling to the finish line, and we get to it this morning. We get to the tomb, and we discover nothing. There is nothing in there. At least Christmas has a payoff. Easter is like being handed a present. I was so cruel during my children's message. And you unwrap it, and you open the box, and there's nothing. And poor Jamie, I saw the light just fade out of his eyes. The group of faithful women arrived at the tomb early in the morning when they discovered the stone was rolled away completely empty. Scripture says they were perplexed and confused, not sure what to think or feel. And we could probably relate to that. And then Scripture says suddenly there's this tremendous shift which caused them to fear. And not fear as in scary, but a fear of being surprised, a fear of when we are disoriented, like when you wake up in a strange city somewhere and you're unsure about where you are or what time it is. And before them are two men in dazzling clothes, and they're asked this question: why do you look for the living among the dead? It's a great question. A question for all of us who may be underwhelmed at the empty tomb. Why do you look for the living among the dead? In other words, why are you looking in the wrong place? No living person is going to stay in the tomb. A tomb is for those that have died. The man you are looking for is gone. He's not here. He has risen. I'm afraid we've all been duped this morning. We have come this morning to hear a story with the hope of finding Jesus, but he has left the building. Just like watching someone explore a beautiful country and eat delicious food, we are maybe more hungry. Like reading a book, we want to make it real. The same could be true for the Easter story. Resurrection can't be fully explained by simply reading and memorizing Scripture. It can't be explained in a sermon. There's no ancient church mother or father that holds some secret quote for us. Why do you look for the living among the dead? They are told that Jesus has risen, that he is alive, and he is on the move. Exactly where and what he's up to, we're uncertain. But the women have faith in what the angels say. And they are the first to share the good news. And I'll say, we may not be here this morning if it weren't for the women at the tomb. Because they tell the men about the tomb and the angels and the resurrection, and Jesus is alive somewhere. And how do the men respond? What is their faith response? It's an idle tale you have told us. In the Greek, that word idle could be translated to mean empty, nonsense, unexplainable. And because it is unexplainable, 10 of them shrug it off. They shrug off the good news of the resurrection on Easter morning. However, one, Peter, responds differently. We've been walking with Peter through Lent. Peter is very human, and he embraces his vulnerability and his mistakes. Peter, who declared him, Jesus declared him the rock, and then rebukes Jesus' teaching, it's Peter who denies knowing Jesus 3 times before the cock crows. He listens to the women's testimony, and he runs as fast as he can. Whether he's filled with doubt or belief, we're unsure, but he must get to the tomb, and he must get as fast as he can. He must begin there on Easter. And when he gets to the tomb, Peter is not disappointed. He's not underwhelmed. And what happens next is not easily explained, but Scripture says that he is amazed, that he is filled with awe. Not filled with wonder, but filled with awe. And there's a difference between those two. Emotions researcher and sociologist Brené Brown says that wonder and awe are very similar. Both make us feel small as we are confronted with something much, much larger than ourselves. They humble us immediately. However, there is an important difference. Brown says that wonder leads us to want to know more. We want something explained to us. How does this work? How did the architect get that design? Why did the animal evolve in that way? That's wonder. However, awe functions differently. Awe is being confronted with something much larger than ourselves, but not wanting to explain it. Instead, we want to breathe it in. We want to hold on to it. Like standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon. Or holding a newborn baby. Awe. Peter goes to the tomb and is filled with awe. The tomb is empty this morning. However, the empty tomb is where we experience awe. At the empty tomb, we are confronted with this vast truth that death never is final. That life prevails even when forces of violence and evil are against it. That the love of God revealed through Christ Jesus, a love that brings good news to the poor and sets the oppressed free, that this love can never be silenced. It cannot be silenced by insecure egos of Caesars then or now. And in the words of Friedrich Buechner, resurrection means that the worst thing is never the last thing. Confronted with this truth comes hope and grace and awe. We are here this morning because we have experienced the risen one. We have come face to face with the risen Christ. We have been the ones hungry, naked, sick, and in need, and someone fed us and clothed us. Someone visited us and healed us. We have been through seasons of grief or despair, and someone walked beside us, called us on our way home from work, brought us a home-cooked meal, watched the kids, sent a meaningful card, prayed with us, met us right where we were. Today we say alleluia because we know who someone was. We experienced Christ. And we have been brought back to life many times over. The alcoholic who has been sober for 2 years and the loved ones who care for them protect their sobriety with them. The person that has endured rehab, who has been regaining strength and motion through the skill of doctors and nurses. Those who lived in fear or in need, who have found safety and resources they need not only to live, but to live abundantly. The church, who heard the honest needs of the community and gave of their resources, who reached deep into their pockets and gave to a family that didn't know where they were going to stay that night. Today we shout alleluia, not because of a story that's 2,000 years old, but because you and I are still living it. Christ lives and moves this day in the midst of brokenness and despair and is making us whole once again. And because we have experienced the risen Christ in our lives, and because Easter is not just a day we celebrate, but Easter is every day, we will still go through rough times. We will still have our health problems. We will still have seasons of despair and depression. Injustice will continue, and Caesars are still going to rise and make themselves out to be a son of God, and they will try to divide a nation. But in faith, of who Christ is and how Christ continues to move, darkness will never overcome it. Life and love will prevail. So we wander this morning to the entrance of an empty tomb, not for an explanation, but for an experience of awe, of resurrection, of hope, that alight our darkest days. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Amen.